The fad could be a fun thing to drop some bucks on. You can go back to the days of the pet rock and ride all the way to today with spinners. Investing in a fad, that's something completely different. And that's what many believe people are doing when it comes to cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. Sure, some have made money, but is that because of the stability of the finances or because those people knew enough to jump into the deep end of the pool? It offers analysis of Bitcoin and whether it's a boom or a bust. Is the financial expert known as America's Money Answers Man, who has also written a series of books on personal finance, Jordan Goodman. How are you today, Jordan?
Great to be with you again, Chris.
MoneyAnswers.com. That's where you find, well, your money answers and find out more about Jordan's books and all the insight that he supplies. And just as a point of reference, too, we see Bitcoin hovering around the $10,500 mark as we talk. Just for a foundation. Is a crypto? I'm going to use Bitcoin. There are others there, but just for the sake of conversation, refer to them as Bitcoin. Is Bitcoin a currency or a commodity?
More of a currency, in that people trade it and trade currencies, and they do transactions in it. Not that many yet, but it's going to be coming. McDonald's says they're going to start accepting Bitcoin this year at the counter. It may be 0.0001 of a Bitcoin for your hamburger, but it'll be something like that. People are buying and selling homes in Bitcoin. Some people are starting to get paid salaries in Bitcoin. So, you know, it's a currency that's an alternative to euros and dollars and yen and kind of traditional currencies.
Well, much like with a dollar, or if you're buying silver, for example, you buy a silver eagle, you can have it sent to you, so you have physical possession of the silver you bought. Is a Bitcoin a physical presence, or is it just an electronic presence?
Electronic only. You cannot hold a physical Bitcoin in your hand. Now, the people that have made coins with bees in them that they say are Bitcoins, but they're not Bitcoins. When it was set up originally in 2009, there was a guy named Satoshi. He was the one who set it up originally, and a whole kind of committee as well. The maximum that can ever be created in the universe is 21 million Bitcoin. Currently, there's about 16 million outstanding. And to make new ones, you do what's called Bitcoin mining, which is probably one of the fastest-growing industries in America these days. Well, around the world, actually. Yeah. And they literally have farms of huge numbers of servers and computers whirring away 24 hours a day doing algorithms to create new Bitcoins. Now, if it's worth 10,000 each, you know, that's worth it. And what they tend to do, Chris, is they go where there's low power costs because they use an enormous amount of power, just enormous. With all these computers whirring away and all the heat that they're generating. Just to give you one example, there's a small town in eastern Washington. I think it's called Wasatchee, Washington. And well, what's in Wasatchee? They've got a hydroelectric dam. So they have hydropower that's like 2 cents a kilowatt hour. And so all of a sudden, this little town in the middle of nowhere has become a Bitcoin mining boom town, I guess you might say. All these companies going in for the cheap power. So it's a strange thing, but that's what's going on out there. And so you can do Bitcoin directly. The exchanges, the big ones called Coinbase, where you keep all your cryptocurrencies electronically. I heard that Coinbase is adding 100,000 customers a day. So, and they went from zero to about 13 million last year. So that's one way to do it. Another way to do it, there is a publicly traded stock, which is a pure play on Bitcoin, which is called the Bitcoin Investment Trust, the symbol for that GBTC. And then there are the companies that kind of feed the Bitcoin craze. I'll give you two examples. NVIDIA is a chip company that makes the chips that go into all these Bitcoin mining farms. That stock's gone from about 20 a year ago now to about 230, something like that.
Oh.
And another one's called Overstock. You may be familiar with their kind of online e-commerce world.
Right.
But they've got a division called the Medici division, which is doing all these cryptocurrency exchanges kind of underneath with the blockchain. And that stock has gone from about 20, it's now about 80, something like that. So even indirect plays on this thing are pretty hot these days.
So it'd be like investing in the refineries if you don't want to invest in oil.
Right. It's the same thing. These are the picks and shovels of the Bitcoin world, I guess you might say. Although there's no physical picks and shovels, there's a lot of electronic ones.
And with Jordan Goodman, MoneyAnswers.com is a website. Talking about cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin here on Issues and Ideas. I mentioned the current price around $10,500. That's a sizable drop from its peak.
Right.
And there are days when the value of Bitcoin can drop as much as 30% and 40%. That doesn't seem like something you'd want to put the mortgage money on.
Although some people are doing that, Chris, and that is not a good idea. Okay, when cryptos were going, you know, when Bitcoin was going from 5,000 to 7,000 to 10,000, there was a day in December it went from 13,000 to almost 19,000 in one day, and then it ended the day at about 15,000. I mean, that's volatility for you.
Yeah,
you do not want to be taking out a mortgage on your house to play Bitcoin, but some people are doing that or taking cash advances against their credit cards. That is insanity, basically. This is what happens with bubbles: is it gets so hot that people lose their normal rational behavior to want to get in on the game. I mean, 100,000 people joining Coinbase a day, that's kind of telling you there's a lot of interest in this.
I did see a survey, too. They said 22% of people are going into debt to get into Bitcoin.
That is bad. That is a bad thing because the debts have to be paid back whether Bitcoin goes up or down.
Yeah, right.
So I'll give you a rule right now, Chris. Anything you put into Bitcoin is money you have to be able to afford to lose, okay?
I was just going to ask that too. Is it the equivalent of walking into a casino? Yep, you might get those four cherries across on the slot machine, but likewise, all you're going to get out of there is maybe a free drink from the waitress.
Yeah, you don't even get a free drink with Bitcoin, but you get a lot of excitement. If you want more excitement in your life, this is certainly, you know, give you heart palpitations as it goes up and down all over the place. What changed is when the Koreans wanted to ban them. That was a shock to the market, and it dropped sharp. That's the day it went down like 30%. Because in general, the Koreans had been supportive of this. The regulators are still trying to figure out what to do with this, not only around the world, but here, the SEC and the CFTC. Is it a currency? Is it a commodity? You know, what is this thing and how should it be regulated? Starting in December, trading in Bitcoin futures and options began in the Chicago markets, and that kind of legitimized it to some extent. And that's brought some stability to the market because you not only can trade it in the cash market, but now in the futures markets as well. So I think it's not going away, but that doesn't mean the price can't go down a lot.
Or trading as a future, does that give you more protection? Is a future investment protected where a straight Bitcoin investment is not protected, FDIC, for example?
There's no protection in the futures markets. I mean, there's protection if your broker goes under.
Okay.
But there's no protection against the price drop. I mean, it's in fact, if you do futures, you could lose a lot more than you put into it. And whereas with Bitcoin itself, all you can lose is what you put into it. So, I mean, if you have a margin call against you in futures, you owe up a lot more because it's highly leveraged. When you buy something, well, traditional futures, you put down 5% of the value of the contract. With Bitcoin, you put down like 35 or 40%. But you're not paying for the full amount. That's the future value of it. But that means it swings pretty wildly. And if it goes against you, you get what's called a margin call. If you don't meet the margin call, they wipe you out, basically. So don't have your listeners do futures on Bitcoin. That's just a little bit too crazy.
Now, also, too, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and the SEC, they're going to sit down next month. And there are those who think that's the cusp of regulations, at least in America, that are going to start invading the world of Bitcoin. And some fear that would make it another drastic drop because, especially the big money people, that might be when they bail out.
Well, I agree, and I do think Bitcoin's not going away, but I do think it would be good to have prudent regulation because the regulators don't want people to get hurt, and they get concerned when, as you put it, all these people going into debt to buy Bitcoin. That's a recipe for disaster, and they want to prevent bubbles that are going to hurt, you know, the average and small kind of investor. So I think having prudent regulation is good, but they're not exactly sure. Is this something the CFTC should do since it's a commodity? Is it something people should do? Even the currency markets are not really regulated directly by the SEC, so it's unclear kind of where this falls in between. But I think there will be more regulation and internationally as well. But in a certain way, that's a good thing as long as it's not overdone to kind of create some stability in the market. It's really been the Wild West. And we've been talking about Bitcoin, but there's lots of other coins out there. The other big ones would be Ethereum, Litecoin, Ripple. Ripple's been the big one. Ripple started the year at about $1. It went up to about $3. Now it's back to about $1. I mean, these things are wildly volatile. So there's a whole bunch of coins, and there's new ones coming out all the time. About 2 weeks ago, Kodak, which people thought had been given up for dead, basically, came out with Kodak Coin, and the stock went from 6 to 13 in a day. So anything that kind of touches Bitcoin or blockchain or all those kind of things has, you know, just shoots up like a rocket.
And many of these outlets, too. You don't have to be a big money player to get in on it.
Well, that's right. And that's why setting up these – and you don't have to buy a full Bitcoin of $10,000. You can buy – most people buy very small fractions of it, and then have a diversified portfolio. I mean, you don't even want to just have one. Have a diversified portfolio. You know, it worries me that people are so hot about this speculation that they're not seeing what's going on in the economy, which is that interest rates are rising. And people in traditional bonds are going to get hurt, have been hurt, and are going to get hurt more. I mean, the long-term 10-year Treasury, which not that long ago was about 2% yield, is now about 2.7%, and I think it's going to go higher. So that means if you own bonds, either directly or through bond funds, or maybe bond funds inside your 401k, you are losing money, Chris. Okay, you're losing a lot more in principal than the 2.7% you're earning in interest over a year. So that's something that bothers me. And the same thing is happening with cash. You're earning nothing in cash. CDs, money market funds, savings accounts at the banks, they feel they can get away with it. They just basically pay you nothing while they're raising what they're charging you on credit cards and student loans and car loans and those kind of things. That's what I call the saver's dilemma, is you earn nothing on cash and your long-term bonds are getting hurt. I've got a solution for people, if that would be helpful.
And that is?
So what I do is what are called secured real estate funds, because that's a way of getting 8% without having any market volatility. It doesn't trade, doesn't go up, doesn't go down. There's a website for that, which is securedrealestatefunds.com. And so what they're doing is lending money short-term to commercial real estate projects that need it to renovate or improve. Could be hotels or medical offices or student housing, whatever it may be. And they've got a long-term track record of doing these kind of things. So you can do that inside an IRA. You can do it outside an IRA. I'd much rather have my money not moving up and down, earning 8%, than being in a long bond at 2.7% and losing a lot of principal, or keeping it in the bank, earning zero, basically, with the money market funds. So, again, if that helps some of your listeners, securedrealestatefunds.com is a place to find out about that.
And certainly the state of the economy today, where businesses are either sprouting, expanding, or revitalizing, that seems to be a market that is...
Exactly, because they need the money, and they need it quickly. Okay, if you deal with a bank, because of all the Dodd-Frank regulations, bank, it could take you a year to get a commercial mortgage, and they might turn you down anyway. So there's all these very, very strict regulations. So this is kind of an alternative to that. That allows people who are doing building projects or renovation projects to get their money much faster, and you know, they, as a result of that, they're willing to pay a higher interest rate for some kind of a project that's going to pay off for them. So it's helping people doing their projects, but also as the investor, you're getting 8%. And this is something that's completely gone through the SEC. There was something in 2012 called the Jobs Act of 2012, and that authorized what's called crowdfunding. And this is kind of a version of that. Basically, it allows the average individual to get into something. In this case, it's $5,000 minimum, that in the past might have been like $100 million just for big institutions. So this is kind of the democratization of investing. And you know, you really benefit to earn 8% on your money.
That's why he's called America's Money Answers Man. You can find out more information like this to get you better focused on effective and successful means of investing and securing your financial future at MoneyAnswers.com. Jordan Goodman, as always, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Chris.